All right, as always, 8 o'clock, we go through the top NBA stories. Some of them are tied to the Los Angeles Lakers. Some of them I just got to get out. Somebody want to talk to me about James Harden here for a quick second? Someone want to help me understand how somebody who makes as much money as James Harden is not showing up to his job? What am I missing on this? Coach Steven Silas, there's no timetable as far as I know. It is a setback. You want your best player to be here. Harden did show up to Lil Baby's birthday in Atlanta. Why do I feel so weird when I say Lil Baby? I don't know.
Just, I feel weird reading it, so you're not alone.
All right, so Harden shows up to Lil Baby's birthday in Atlanta and was also in Vegas for some nightclub action. Did not know that nightclubs were open in Las Vegas. Okay, let me get my thoughts on this real quick. Listen. James, Mr. Harden, this is not a good look. This is not a time. If you don't want to be a part of the Houston Rockets organization, if you don't like where that organization is going, I get it. I understand that. By the way, I don't know where they're going. I spent time looking over the schedule, and I saw Lakers and the Rockets. I'm like, yeah, they're probably a fringe playoff team, I guess, maybe. I mean, I don't know where they're going. It's your job. This is your profession. There are a lot of people right now over the last 8-9 months because of COVID-19 that don't have jobs. Take your ass to work. I don't know what more to tell you. You know, even if he wants to use his platform and sit in front of training camp and say, listen, I've had time with the Rockets. I'm talking with the organization behind the scenes, and we'll see what happens. You want to play it off stupid like that, you could play it off. But don't not show up to your job. This one is, it doesn't sit well with me, and I'm sure it doesn't sit well with a lot of other people. James Harden is a multi-millionaire. And again, I go back to just the situation and the predicament that this country and the world is in. You got to show up to your job. And it doesn't help. It's one thing if he doesn't show up, but he's out there training and he's doing other things and all that stuff. No, he's at Lil Baby's birthday, Lil Baby Curtis. And he's also at Vegas nightclubs. I'm almost kind of speechless in this whole thing. Feel bad for the Rockets. I feel bad for Coach Steven Silas, who I read a tweet today. This guy's been 20 years grinding for this opportunity, and then this is, you know, obviously the situation and the predicament. He's obviously trying to get out of Houston. He's trying to get himself to Brooklyn. He's trying to play with Kyrie Irving and with Kevin Durant. I get it. I understand it. But you're still under contract. So if the Houston Rockets think, you know what, we don't want to send you there, or we're not getting enough assets back, and it's not in our best interest to trade you right now, then that's their position that they're in. They have the right to do it. So we'll see what happens with the Houston Rockets. I got a feeling at some point James Harden's going to come to one of these practices, and then he's going to have to answer to a lot of people that are wondering, can you walk us through the process here of some of your decisions in the, you know, obviously recently rather than being with your team? Again, we'll see what happens. We'll go from there. But just somebody observing this whole thing from afar, I think it looks stupid. I think it looks bad. I think James Harden is making himself look like somebody that's unappreciative of the position and the job that he has. All right, let me continue on these top NBA stories. I might throw in Lil Baby's birthday a couple different times during the show, Curtis. Now I'm getting better at it.
Is that the running theme for tonight?
I guess so, man. I mean, listen, let me say this, Curtis. I really don't get this one. Like, it angers me, but I try not to get angry over things that I have nothing to do with. But it does bother me, and I'm sure there's a lot of fans out there. And put aside even the Houston Rockets, I can only imagine that franchise, that front office, and just that fan base. But just, you know, from a principal perspective, this one doesn't sit well.
It's the priority, not getting your priorities in order is kind of the, you know, we kind of, you're supposed to learn that when you're younger, not now, not when you're in such a public space. But he's in his own world, unfortunately. And it doesn't look good at all.
All right, we'll see how it plays out. Top NBA stories, the Toronto Raptors announced 3 positive COVID-19 tests in the organization. No spread to other members of the organization. Raptors already playing in Tampa this season. Obviously, Canada has decided they did not like the idea of having NBA players traveling in and out of the country with COVID-19 going on. The Portland Trailblazers, 1 of 3 positive coronavirus tests. One of 3 positive coronavirus tests. One of them is a player. plan is for the team to have their first practice on Tuesday. They haven't even practiced yet as a team. So why am I mentioning both the Toronto Raptors and the Portland Trail Blazers? This is the world that I genuinely think the NBA is going to be in for at least the next few months. So we got the schedule. Got the schedule right in front of me. I know what days the Lakers are supposed to play. I know what days all these other teams are supposed to play. But if the first couple of days aren't an example of training camp, of really just what some of the challenges are going to be in the league, and it is what it is. I'm not sitting here saying, well, they shouldn't try or they shouldn't play out the season. Of course they should. There were a lot of doubts on sports just in general. Major League Baseball eventually crowned World Series champions in the Los Angeles Dodgers. Hockey finished its Stanley Cup eventually. Obviously, the NFL's got a lot of issues and question marks, but they're in week 13 of the NFL season. So sports is going to continue. It's different. They have to adjust. All I'm trying to say is when it comes to the NBA, do not pay that close attention to what came out on Friday, because that stuff could be changing. It could be changing at any moment. Did you know, Curtis, did you even know this? There was a game this afternoon at 2 o'clock in the NFL?
No, didn't this happen last week too?
Happened last week. It was Pittsburgh-Baltimore. Yeah. That didn't happen on Thanksgiving. And then you had another game. It was Pittsburgh-Washington football team.
I think the NFL is kind of rushing to try and get everything finished now.
But listen, Curtis, this is the point that I'm making. It's not perfect, but they're still getting it done. And that, I guess that's just kind of the world that we're in right now. Nothing's going to be perfect. Nothing's going to go as planned. Just expect, if you're an NBA fan, expect this to happen over the next couple of months, that don't be surprised or shocked if there are players that test positive. Don't be surprised that a facility has to shut down. They have to move a game. That those type of things are going to happen.
No bubble this year so far.
Yeah, and listen, I get it too. No player was going to sign up for 7 months or 8 months. You know what's crazy is, they played 8 regular season games to get to the postseason. They'd have to play 72. So obviously that's not, at least to start off the season, that's not an option. All right, we continue on our top NBA stories. Mike Trudell, by the way, coming up at 8:30. 9 o'clock, I'm doing a postgame. Lakers didn't play, Al.
In like a week, you will be doing a postgame.
I will. Actually, Friday, I'll be doing a postgame. We'll do a social show coming up at 9 o'clock. So ESPN Los Angeles for Twitter, on Twitch and Facebook and Instagram, on YouTube. So that's coming up at 9 o'clock. So a couple quick plugs there. Okay, another top NBA story. Dwight Howard explains his tweet on the night of free agency. So Laker fans obviously remember that moment where for about 3.9 seconds, we thought we had Dwight Howard back. Dwight Howard was re-signing with the Lakers. And then quickly, Shams Charania took down a tweet. Quickly, Dwight Howard took down a tweet. And let me read off what Dwight Howard said. He said this to ESPN's Tim Bontemps. He said, at one point I did about signing with the Los Angeles Lakers. So obviously thought he was re-signing with the Lakers. As I read this tweet, 34 ads pop up. He said that that's when you saw the infamous tweet, because I really thought I was going back, but it was no offer. And I understand it's a business. The Lakers did what they felt was in their best interest. And I'm just very thankful for them giving me an opportunity to come back to LA and just to have an opportunity to win a championship. It's very difficult, but everything happens for a reason. I'm super excited about my purpose on this team and moving forward. He's referring to the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, it was kind of when that situation happened with the Lakers, I was so confused, because I was such a big fan of Dwight Howard this past year and his sacrifice that he made. I tried as much as I can anytime I grabbed a microphone to compliment his sacrifices. And here's the thing. Not only, you know, were you complimenting his sacrifice to the team financially, his role and everything else, he played really well. I mean, Dwight was a great asset to the Lakers this past season. If I actually think there's one hole that the Lakers have, it's the fact that JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard held it down as the two bigs. And Lakers had just such a monstrous lineup. That was a big difference, I think, how they kind of separated themselves from the rest of the pack. They had the ability to go small. They had the ability to go big. They had the ability to go strong. They had the ability for length. I mean, they pretty much can throw anything at you. So when Dwight Howard eventually signed with the Philadelphia 76ers, and then the dust settled, JaVale McGee got traded to make room for Marc Gasol. Montrezl Harrell came from the Clippers to the Lakers. Markieff Morris came back. I still think the Lakers are missing another big. Just a guy that can kind of play. It doesn't have to be Dwight Howard, but can play that type of a role, can bring that kind of size in when the Lakers need it. Just have another, you know, interior player. But Dwight Howard explains what happened. But Dwight Howard is looking for his next opportunity in Philadelphia. By the way, I think he'll do good in Philly. I mean, Philly, not a lot of people like talking about the Philadelphia 76ers, but they got a good team. Danny Green's there now. Dwight Howard is there. But, of course, it's Embiid. Of course, it's Tobias Harris. It's Ben Simmons. They got a good squad there. Doc Rivers there as well, and Daryl Morey. So we'll see what happens with the Philadelphia 76ers this season. All right, another top NBA story. Milwaukee Bucks teammates got Giannis Antetokounmpo. Do you know what they got him for his birthday, Curtis? What do you think they got him for his birthday?
I don't know. I have no clue what they got him.
Even better. No idea at all?
No. I'm totally unaware of this completely.
Okay.
I only think about NBA champion Kostas Antetokounmpo.
Don't forget that either. Don't forget that. They're talking about the wrong Antetokounmpo.
He's the first one.
Okay, so this is what they got him. Chris Middleton and Pat Connington got him a pen. You know why they got him a pen? They basically just sprinkled pens around the entire locker room. Do you know why they got him a pen? Got him a pen in hopes of signing his extension. He has until December 22nd to sign a potentially five-year, $228 million contract with the Milwaukee Bucks. If you listen to this show and you listen to me here on 710, or if you listen on any of the social, any of that stuff, one of the things I keep emphasizing on the Giannis situation, Curtis, I genuinely mean this when I say this. Giannis should not sign that offer. Okay, he should not sign it. I'll explain to you why. You want a franchise in an organization like that to be uncomfortable, that they just don't know if Giannis is going to stay or if he's going to leave. By the way, if Giannis ends up staying and he signs a contract this upcoming summer after he goes on some meetings or whatever the case is for free agency, I get it. I understand. And, you know, more power to him. I do like when these players sign for small market teams. But what I want him to do is keep that pressure on the organization. You know what I mean? Like, if your goal is to win an NBA championship, if you're Giannis and you want to do it in Milwaukee and you want to bring him a championship for the first time, and I'm assuming the last championship they had was with Kareem at the time back in, I think, the 70s. So with that in mind, Curtis, I hope he doesn't sign that extension because he needs to keep pressure on that organization. I feel like if he does sign, then there is pressure that comes off, and now they know he's going to be there for 5 years.
Yeah, you see that happening a lot with all the big stars kind of doing that. I mean, you don't want to be stuck with a team that becomes another New York Knicks or Oklahoma City Thunder, because those are the two that come to mind of not doing that, you know, get someone comfortable. So it's, you have to do it. I don't blame you. And I wouldn't want to be stuck there forever if I didn't have any talent around me. So,
well, listen, it more has to do with I'm down to stay here. I'm down to stay for, you know, obviously a big time contract. I'm down to raise my family here for the next 5-6 years. But I have to make sure that I'm competing for a chip. And that's one of the things I respect from Giannis, even though they've never been to the finals. He cares about winning. He's not a player that's just looking for a contract. Winning is a priority to him. So that's certainly something that's important. All right, that's our top NBA stories right there. That's our top NBA stories. A lot of good NBA stories, and the stories are only going to improve. They're only going to get better as we get closer to the NBA season starting, and obviously preseason starts on December 11th, this upcoming Friday. Dennis Schroeder spoke earlier today, and he talked about this combination that he feels like he's going to have with another Los Angeles Laker. I'll tell you who I'm talking about when we come back. By the way, my apologies, Laker fans. I haven't even given out the number or asked Laker fans to call in. The phone number is 877-710-ESPN. I hit on a number of different topics today or tonight, and if you want to hit on any of these, I made the point already that I think Anthony Davis got to have even better season and got to take more of the burden off LeBron James' shoulders because of where LeBron is, LeBron James in his career, and how quick this turnaround is. So you can comment on that. LeBron thinks Kyle Kuzma is going to have is going to have a giant leap this upcoming season. Do you agree with LeBron James or not? 877-710-ESPN. We'll take some of your calls when we come back. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN. All right, times are tough, but getting your plumbing and AC service doesn't have to be. My friends over at Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air have made home services convenient, affordable, and safe. I speak from a personal perspective. Power Pro has been, let me tell a couple quick stories here. Raul Rodriguez, who owns Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air, he's been a partner of this station for a number of years. And really just a friend as well, just getting a chance to develop a relationship for so long. We have a lot of listeners who have relied on Power Pro, and you know, hopefully Power Pro has come through for you all the time and every time. But if you are out there and you ever have some kind of a plumbing issue or your AC is not working, don't worry about going and figuring out, I'm going to go on Yelp, I'm going to try and find this service, that service. It's Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air. For a limited time, Power Pro is having a service blowout for only $59. Whether it's an AC tune-up, a drain cleaning, or water heater flush, get it for only $59 each. Call and schedule yours today. Power Pro is my plumber. They want to be yours too. Call 800-584-4116, 800-584-4116, or visit powerproplumbing.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We got a winner here. We got a winner here. Caller number 7, Jorge Mejia. Jorge, where are you calling in from, buddy? You there, Jorge? Okay, Jorge. Jorge, work with me here, buddy. Work with me.
Try it again. I think he's up.
All right, Jorge, where are you calling in from?
Hey, man, I'm calling from Inglewood.
All right, man. Hey, thank you for listening. Appreciate you being a part of the show. Okay, it's time for you to pick your stocking above the 710 fireplace. So we got a prize behind one of these stockings. So you can pick Keyshawn, Greeny, Max, Mason, Ireland, Sedano, LZ, Kaplan, or myself, playoff Sliwa. Which stocking would you like to pick, bud?
Oh, man, let me get a Keyshawn.
All right, you got Keyshawn. We got over there, Curtis.
That's right, my stocking. The key stocking above the 710 fireplace.
Okay, let's see what's inside the stocking. Congratulations, you win a $100 gift card to LakersStore.com.
That's what I'm talking about.
To stock up on all your Lakers goodies.
That's what I'm talking about. Jorge Mejia out of Inglewood, $100 gift card to you get some Lakers gear there. Get some Lakers gear there, Jorge. You ready for this? You ready for this game on Friday, Jorge?
Yep, I'll be ready, man.
All right, man. Well, listen. We appreciate you listening to the show. Congratulations, and thank you for being a part of this promotion. All right, bud?
All right. Thank you, Sliwa.
All right, man. All right, listen to Mason Ireland tomorrow starting at 1 p.m. for Santa Key to come down your chimney and stuff your stocking with Laker goodies for 710 ESPN. You're home of the world champion, Los Angeles Lakers. If he'd have picked – this is what I heard. I heard if he would have picked my stocking, Curtis – this is just the rumor out on the street – he would have got $30,000. No, okay. I'm not gonna go make up
lifetime
stuff like that.
Lifetime subscription of hot dogs.
Lifetime subscription of hot dogs. Oh, that's
you are the defending champ, just like the Lakers.
That
so.
Is a very ugly sight. They did it in a beautiful way. I did it in a very ugly way. Okay, so there was some chatter, some conversation about. By the way, if you miss any part of the show. Go on the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. You'll get all 2 hours of the show. We had Wesley Matthews on in the 7 o'clock hour, and it was just great to connect with him and get his perspective on this upcoming season. Mike Trudell, by the way, coming up at 8:30. So you can always go back if you miss any part of the show on the ESPN app. By the way, you could do that for any of the shows, whether it's Sedano and LZ, Mason and Ireland, Greeny, Kellerman, Keyshawn, Scott Kaplan. So all the shows, make sure if you missed anything, you want to get it, you can catch it on the app. So when Dennis Schroeder came to the Lakers, the first conversation, you know, and this is natural, there's some curiosity of, okay, well, is Schroeder going to come off the bench? Yeah, he's going to come off the bench. And if he comes off the bench, That's what he did in Oklahoma City for 2 years. And the Lakers got such a stacked lineup already, they can use him off the bench. And then Schroeder came out and said, yeah, I did that in Oklahoma City. I'm not signing up that that's going to be the case here for the Lakers. I think it surprised someone like myself. Maybe it surprised others. Maybe it didn't. Here's the reality. Head coach Frank Vogel has said a couple times, yeah, it's a little too early to be talking about a starting lineup. I get it. But today when he spoke, I liked some of the different things that he was saying. And this was somebody that I think over time is going to understand that LeBron James and Anthony Davis are two of the best players in the world. And, you know, obviously there's a reason why they get the opportunities that they do. And in order to win an NBA championship, there are going to be players who are extremely talented but are going to still have to sacrifice. That's the bottom line, by the way. One thing I could tell you about this Lakers roster and this Lakers team is on paper, it's the best roster in the NBA, and there's no real conversation to be had. I mean, maybe somebody wants to make conversation and say, well, look at the Clippers. Maybe somebody wants to say the Bucks. Somebody wants to throw in an argument with the Brooklyn Nets. They're all wrong if they're trying to make that argument. The best roster on the lake or the best roster in the NBA is the Los Angeles Lakers. But having the best roster on paper does not mean anything, because we know a big part of sports, it's the chemistry. It's if everybody knows their role and is willing to play that role. Those things are very important. It's very key. And today, Dennis Schroeder, this afternoon, I want to read off a quote that he said. He's talking about the combination him and Montrezl Harrell can have playing together. Question had come in about Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, the time that they had together, and what a great 1-2 punch that was off the pick and roll. So he says, when we're on the floor together, it's going to be a 1-2 punch, really dangerous. We are practicing together. It's going to be a good pick and roll option. I think there's such an opportunity, unbelievable opportunity, for both Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder. And I could hit this on a couple different points. One, it's an opportunity for them to win a championship, right? We all know that. These are two players that have never won a chip. Just talking to Wesley Matthews a little bit ago, he hasn't won a championship as well. So there are players that are just hungry to try and win a championship. But for both of those players, Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, if they come into this team and they sacrifice, and Montrezl Harrell was mentioning this yesterday, whatever you need me to do, and you heard Dennis Schroeder kind of have a similar approach in that as well of what he's going to bring to the Lakers. Guys will have to sacrifice on this team. When you have this much talent, you're playing with LeBron and Anthony Davis, as talented as Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder are, they will have to sacrifice. You know, we spent a lot of time of Kyle Kuzma needing to sacrifice. So I'm curious to see how those two players eventually fit in. I'm not worried about it, to be honest with you. And I think they'll just become incredible assets for the Lakers. And we're going to find out sooner than later as preseason is going to get started this week. Coming up next, Mike Trudell. Get a chance to catch up with Mike and get his thoughts. You know, obviously, he's on all these calls as well with the Lakers, and get his thought process on what we could expect here over the next couple of weeks and how aggressive the Lakers are going to be to start off this season, what the game plan is going to be on LeBron James. All that coming up next. Stay right here. Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. I want to welcome in Mike Trudell. Mike, what is going on? Here we are. Season's already about to start. How you doing, bud?
Doing well. Looking forward to seeing some basketball again, man, for sure. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, it's been nice to have a lot of these Zoom calls. And for those who don't know, so we're getting a chance to listen to a lot of the players. Mike, I know it's early, and you know, this is going to be such a, I guess you could say, awkward start to the season. We'll see what happens over the next couple of months. But one of the questions that came up today was about, you know, LeBron, I guess you could say, in a sense, how he's going to approach this season, and if you want to call it pacing himself, just out of curiosity, how do you feel the Lakers and LeBron James, how that dynamic will work, just because it was such a short offseason, and obviously for the Lakers, they got this long haul in front of them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the biggest thing I think about, and whether it's listening to all these interviews or just thinking about the way that the roster is composed, it's all about they actually improved upon what they did last year. That was, as you hear my kids joking in the background, I think they're trying to take pictures of me on their iPads, if possible, their school iPads. The biggest thing, Slee, what they're trying to figure out is how much of the system from last year can they keep that incorporates all the same defensive principles, especially with some of this new defensive personnel that they brought in. And I think the answer is actually they'll be able to do pretty much the same thing. Now, they have a little bit less in terms of vertical spacing defensively with Dwight and with JaVale moving on, but Marcus Gasol is a terrific interior defender. He's not necessarily going to go up and block a ton of shots, but he's always in the right position. He's always calling out the right coverages. So I don't think you lose a ton there. And then they're going to be kind of a little bit more athletic and smaller off the bench with either Harrell or Markieff Morris in the inside, and then still fast and aggressive on the outside with guys like Caruso and Schroeder playing more minutes. So I think that they actually can improve upon where they went last year, and they got guys that are going to be hungry enough to sustain all of that moving forward. So, you know, training camp, it's a little different this year. COVID, and all of the other concerns, they're not necessarily playing that full court 5-on-5 necessarily as much as they might in other years when guys came in, coming off of playing scrimmages together. But I do think that they're going to get there, and relative to other teams, they'll still have an advantage.
Mike, I spent a lot of last season, just kind of envisioning in my head when Anthony Davis came to the Lakers and trying to picture, okay, well, you know, LeBron is in his 17th year and he's going to pace himself and Anthony Davis is going to be the guy. Of course, LeBron still being LeBron, but you thought maybe more would be on the shoulders of Anthony Davis. Now, don't get me wrong. AD was everything for the Lakers on the defensive side. Obviously, we know what he could do on the offensive end as well. But do you think, as AD is 27 years old, LeBron is going into his 18th season, do you think there will be more on AD's shoulder this year to try to make sure that LeBron James is more fresh for the postseason? What I'm referring to there is, do you feel like there's going to be more on AD's back in the regular season than there maybe was this past season?
Yeah, I do think that AD will take another step this year, but I wouldn't equate it with LeBron necessarily. I know that's going to be a big storyline. Everybody's going to ask about if he's going to miss games here and there. But I think it's going to be less than some might expect. And when he plays, he's still LeBron. He holds himself to a certain standard of just personal accountability, the way that he plays. It's not like he's going to just suddenly drop off and think, oh, I'll be fine. I'll come and get him when the playoffs come. Like that's not how he's wired. So I don't really see that it being that it's related to LeBron. I think it's just because AD is now, as you mentioned, in his prime. Like he's 27, he's got the confidence of showing what he does works at the highest level in the playoffs on both sides of the basketball. He has a full tank at this point, even though it's only been, 71, 72 days since game six. They did have those 4 months last year from March until August to get quote-unquote rest, even though it was a little bit different. So I expect that he's going to come in and know that there isn't really anybody in the league that can stop him all the way up to the point where you want a title doing what he does. So, yes, I do think that there's going to be a step for Anthony Davis. And Jared Dudley is the one that kind of put this on the map a bit.
That's when
he said he expects AD to be looking at going for MVP, being an MVP candidate. And Dudley's kind of his interior hype man. So it can be good to have somebody on the roster like that as well, just to make sure that he's locked in.
Mike Trudell taking some time here to join Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Mike, I think one of the things that has been so interesting in this offseason, obviously the addition of Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, and today we got a chance to hear Dennis Schroeder talk about how he thinks it's going to be a dangerous combination having him and Montrezl Harrell there. And, of course, you could make some references back to the way Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell used to play together with the Clippers. How do you think not just those two together, but just those two additions to this Lakers team? Nobody's as knowledgeable of the roster and the history of the Lakers over these last few years than you, you know, obviously yourself. But keeping that in mind, what do those two additions do to the Lakers just overall? They're both young pieces. They're both players that, you know, obviously are talented enough to be starters on any team in the NBA. And here they are now as complementary pieces to LeBron and AD.
Yeah, so the talent there and the age upgrade in terms of being younger than a couple of guys that went out, that is the biggest thing. So how that incorporates into the rotation and into how many minutes they play and who's on the floor to start, who's on the floor to finish, that's all going to have to be earned on the court, because we already know that the Lakers have a unit without the guys from last year that they could confidently close games with, and that's LeBron, that's AD, that's Kuz, and either Markieff in certain situations if they want to be a little bigger, or they just go KCP and Caruso in the backcourt and do it that way. So that is a group that they trust, they know can get it done. But the talent that Schroeder and Harrell have on top of that is really, really impressive. And so the way that I would focus on it is those guys are bringing in some fire, some energy, some intensity. They want to prove that they, too, can do it at the highest level, which Harrell obviously wasn't able to do that last year with the Clippers. Schroeder played really well in round one, but they still lost in seven games to Houston. So I think that just kind of like when they got Metta World Peace, Ron Artest to come in after the 09 title, he was the guy that wanted to do more, that wanted to show that he was a champion too. And they really used that fire that he had, which I think was important to get them through the regular season and then give them a little bit more energy into the playoffs. So I think you look at it that way with those guys. And as far as the X's and O's and who's going to start and who's going to finish, that will become obvious as the season goes on. But, you know, Frank Vogel has no shortage of options, and that's thanks in part to having those two.
No, it's incredible luxury for the Lakers having all these players. And you could literally say 9, 10 deep, throw Talen Horton Tucker in the mix. You could say 12 guys at the Lakers, 11, 12 guys Lakers can be using in any given night. Mike Trudell joining Lakers Talk here. Mike, I don't know if you saw this tweet. I'm sure you did, but there was a tweet that went out. Hoop Central put out a tweet, said, name an NBA player you think will take a giant leap this season. This was a couple days ago or so, and LeBron James responded. He said Kyle Kuzma. What are you expecting from Kuz this year? A player that has seemed to always get attention from Laker fans, and I think it's a kind of a love-hate relationship with Kyle Kuzma, and I really actually can't explain it to you, but Kuz, obviously, one of the things I thought he did so well in the playoffs is and during the regular season last year, as the season progressed, Mike, I thought he showed tremendous maturity. He was sacrificing for the team. He was doing whatever the team asked him to do to try and help win an NBA championship. As we get into this season, what are you expecting with Kuz, who's now becoming a player that obviously been in the league now for a couple years and now has a championship under his belt?
Yeah, what happened with Kuzma was interesting, but I think it's also pretty easily explainable. And I was also surprised that he didn't get the benefit of the doubt for a pretty obvious reason. So Kuz, starting from his rookie year, he had the most responsibility that he was going to have because the Lakers had the least amount of talent. And he's a rhythm player. He took advantage of that. He got more shots up. He was able to shoot better from three. He got to the bucket more. He had a bigger share of the offense, a bigger usage rate. That obviously evolved last year, really 2 years ago when LeBron came. And there were more mouths to feed, and most notably, LeBron was, of course, needed to have the basketball in his hands more. So Kuz's numbers went the other way. Then last year, we saw that continue, and his numbers went down again. But the obvious part that I mentioned, well, yeah, they went down because he has LeBron James and Anthony Davis right ahead of him in the front court. Mm-hmm. And even though LeBron played point guard, he matches up defensively in the front court. So they are the 3-4 more often than not when they're playing, and that's who Kuz is usually going to guard. So he's only playing 20 minutes a game, and his shots go from 17, 18 down to 10. And you'd have to look that up to double-check, but it's something like that where his usage definitely went way down. That's why Kuz, I don't even want to use the word struggled, but if you're looking at it from a just raw points usage perspective, of course he's not going to do as much when those guys are on the roster, nor should he. Mm-hmm. But what he did do was get better defensively. So his defensive rating got much better. He got better at either spotting up, most notably in the corners, or cutting to the hoop and taking advantage of LeBron and Rondo and feeding him in that aspect. So that's where Kuz evolved his game, and I think that's where he has a chance to continue to evolve this year. Because guess what? His usage shouldn't go up that much, Alan. You still got LeBron. You still got AD. and you bring in Harrell and Schroeder,
sure,
both guys that, you know, that can get 20 on a given night and damn near averaged it last year, it's not like he's suddenly going to get his chance to just take a bunch of shots. But Danny Green left, so there's some more minutes to be had on the wing for a big wing, for a big defensive wing, for a guy that can spot up, a guy that can cut. Like, so there's opportunity for him to play more, but he's had to adjust his job more than anybody else on the roster, and not to his fault. So that's why I'm guessing you agree. It was a little bit silly last year that fans were on his case, and not I don't mean Laker fans. I mean more just kind of nationally that people kept asking what's wrong with Kuzma. And I know I took a long time to explain it there, but I think that's at least what I saw.
No, and I think it needs that explanation because I think, like you said, it's not people just look at a stat, and if you just look at the stat sheet, it obviously doesn't tell the full story. So I think that given that background is important. And, you know, frankly, LeBron's obviously very calculated with everything that he does, and I think that's, yeah, a fantastic move for him to say, yeah, I think Kyle Kuzma is going to take the biggest leap this upcoming season. I mean, what a vote of confidence that probably is for Kuz. Whether Kuz needs that or he doesn't, this is one of the greatest to ever play the game. He obviously has got confidence in Kyle Kuzma. Mike, on Friday, the schedule came out, so obviously for the league, and we got a chance to see the Lakers and all these different matchups, at least for the first 37 games of the season. What's the matchup? Is it for you, is it no question about it, you want to see Lakers and Clippers go up against each other, or are there some other unique matchups that you saw on that schedule, maybe the Sixers or the Bucks? What matchup are you most looking forward to watch this first half of the season?
Yeah, it's funny. There isn't one team, whether it's Clippers or Warriors or Bucks or Nets, or, you know, the Lakers to me are in a tier by themselves as the defending champs, as the team that probably improved their roster the most in the offseason, where all of those teams are going to have to prove that they can beat the Lakers, and not just in a one-off in January or in March, but in a playoff series. So, like, I'm going to be very zen about the regular season this year. And I do think you want to see the Lakers kind of bring their A game in certain instances, but not to the degree that they have to. And again, I'll go back to the Lakers team that repeated in 2010. That regular season was not as good as their 65-win regular season when they hadn't yet won the title. So that kind of it's expected, I think, that you're looking at the big picture, and you're not necessarily having to show these other teams out there that are trying to hunt you down what you can do. So with that said, like the Clippers, do I think that they have the best chance of getting that mix based on the talent on their roster? Probably, but it's not that clear the difference between them and some other teams in the West and even the top teams in the East. So I don't know if I have a particular highlighted matchup, Sliwa. I'm more looking to see how do they incorporate these new guys on both sides of the floor. How do they use players in terms of minutes? How do they get through this season healthy? Those are the questions I think the Lakers have to answer much more so than any specific matchup.
Well, Mike, it all starts on Friday, Lakers-Clippers first preseason game. Looking forward to following you all season long. Thank you for taking the time, buddy. I really appreciate it.
All right, no problem, man. Have a good night.
All right, that's Mike Trudell right there, one of the best in the business. I just mentioned the Lakers preseason schedule. When we come back, I got five matchups that I'm looking forward to. 37 games came out on Friday. I got five to keep an eye on. We'll look at this Lakers schedule a little bit. And I actually think the schedule is very favorable for the Lakers. I really do. If you look at, I almost feel like the NBA is giving a little sympathy to the Lakers here. They're giving them some matchups that are much more favorable that will just basically mean that the second half of the schedule will be that much tougher, but at least gives the Lakers a little bit of time to adjust here. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, so just a quick reminder here. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we will do our social show, Lakers Talk on ESPN Los Angeles. We'll do it for Twitter, Periscope, Facebook, YouTube, Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa on YouTube. So we'll keep the show going, get obviously some interaction going with some of the listeners out there from a social perspective. So the schedule came out on Friday, and the first thing that came to my mind, this is actually kind of crazy. What's today, Monday? So Friday I'll be back here. There's only going to be a few days, obviously, in between here before we're back and pregame show. That's it. I mean, like, literally, if you just kind of look at where we are right now and you just kind of pay attention to this this Lakers season, you're coming off an NBA championship. It's crazy to me that I'm going to be doing a pregame show with Michael Thompson this upcoming Friday to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers season. And, of course, I'm excited about it. I love working with MT, so I'm looking forward to that. Obviously with John Ireland as well. But I got a chance to look at the schedule. Friday I did a quick social show and was breaking it down as if I was breaking down the stock market or something. And when I say it's a favorable schedule, kind of a favorable schedule. There were 22 games that I thought versus teams, you know, and some of this is repetitive. You play the Spurs three times. I think they got Memphis three times. Houston a couple times. So there's certainly going to be some games that you end up playing against teams that you'll face a few different occasions in these first 37 games. But I thought 22 games of the schedule are against teams that are on fringe playoffs or below the or a lottery team. So I don't know how you want to look at it, but it's one of those two scenarios. They're either a team that's got a chance to make the playoffs, or they got no chance to make the playoffs. Then you had some 10 home games against teams like the Portland Trailblazers, the Golden State Warriors. Brooklyn's coming into town. You start off the season against the Clippers. You got the Dallas Mavericks on Christmas, so you'll have some formidable opponents when it comes to that. And then you got some tough road games, the Philadelphia 76ers, Milwaukee Bucks. Boston's always a fun one. You go on that East Coast road trip. But the teams that I'm most looking forward to seeing the Lakers play, first of all, let's just say this. On December 22nd, on the opening night, when it's the Lakers and the Clippers, that's the best matchup in the NBA. And I can't stop emphasizing that. Yes, there's good matchups that are out there. Yes, I'm excited to see other teams. But the Lakers and the Clippers truly, truly are the best matchup in the NBA. I think that's what's going to be what drives a lot of these storylines this upcoming year. Can the Clippers find a way to go up against the Lakers? Last season, Clippers were the favorites, and then you know they bounced out after a 3-1 lead over the Denver Nuggets, and then it kind of all trickled from there. So, Curtis, looking at the Lakers schedule, let me throw out some games. By the way, do you agree with me, Lakers Clippers? That's the best matchup, or do you have another matchup in mind?
I agree, but I think it should have been on Christmas Day. But that's just me venting out there. When I saw that drop, I was like, really, Dallas on Christmas? Why don't you guys just save the key marquee matchup for 3 days later? But what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's the fact that it's opening night, right? Let's look at last season. What was it? Opening night last year was Lakers-Clippers, and Christmas was Lakers-Clippers. But actually, I don't mind the Luka matchup. I don't. I know it's different. I know it's not what we're accustomed to, but I don't mind me a little Luka and LeBron, because 2 days before that, you're gonna get Lakers and the Clippers. You're so greedy, Curtis. I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
I also understand the whole part of where they're trying to limit the travel. So, don't we have a bunch of home games in a row?
Four to start off so. And then four on the road. But the four you go on the road, two is against San Antonio, two against Memphis.
Yeah, obviously with the times, you can't really complain. It's better than nothing.
Okay, so best matchup in the NBA, Lakers-Clippers? Agree 100%. Or disagree? Okay, yeah. We're both on the same page. Okay. So let me throw out a couple other games that are out there. So if we both agree that Lakers and the Clippers are the best matchup in the NBA, my question to you then is, what's your favorite matchup after that? And I got a couple games, I got a couple matchups I'm going to throw your way that I think are interesting storylines. Okay,
sounds good.
Lakers Denver, Lakers Brooklyn, with Kevin Durant and. Well, let me just say this. Lakers-Denver is on February 4th. Lakers-Brooklyn is on February 18th. That's obviously Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Lakers-Philadelphia, which maybe I'm the only one that's overselling the 76ers, but I think that's a fun matchup. That's January 27th. Lakers-Boston, January 30th. And then I don't know if you want to throw the Golden State Warriors in the mix, but you could throw the Warriors in the mix if you'd like. Out of all those teams between Denver, the Warriors, Brooklyn, Philly, Boston, and Milwaukee, I missed out Milwaukee, what's the best matchup you think the Lakers got after that Lakers-Clippers?
I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed they're not playing Portland sooner. I think that'd be a good game to watch. But besides that, it's always fun to see them beat up Boston. But the Brooklyn thing, if everyone's healthy, that's a lot of stars on the floor. That's the only thing. That's probably the biggest star-heavy game that you can think of.
All right, so Portland, they actually do play Portland. They play them early in the season, December 28th. I just didn't put them on that list. That's a home game for the Lakers. I didn't think that one would be that high on the list. But Portland actually had a good offseason. They made some good acquisitions, kind of quiet acquisitions that are going to be will be helpful to their team.
The postseason stuff really was what made them exciting, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that run in the Orlando bubble just to get to the playoffs. Do you remember that, by the way? Everybody saying that. Was it Barkley that was saying that Portland's going to win the series and they take game one? I mean, how about that? They take game one. Houston took game one against the Lakers, and the Lakers went back and made work. So that's really, you know, when you look at this Lakers schedule coming up, and I know I've emphasized this, and this is going to be a conversation that we have over the next couple of months, really. Whatever's on that Lakers schedule, it's on paper, but there's no guarantee that all this is going to go as planned. And I think it's more likely that it doesn't go as planned than it does go as planned. But the scenario that the Lakers have in place, it really doesn't matter who they're going to play. It really doesn't matter how things kind of progress during the season. Lakers are going to continue to be the heavy favorite, and there's no question about that. I started off the show talking about LeBron James, and Bill Plaschke actually had a really good article in the LA Times, came out right before the show started. And Bill was talking about how you just got to limit LeBron, and that's the bottom line. If you he said something to the end, at the end of his article, if you want to soar, you have to sit. And he's talking about LeBron James. If you want this franchise to eventually, you know, have a chance at going back to back, then you got to be really, really selective with LeBron James. You know, part of it, I think the Lakers will do their part. I think they'll do the best they can. But I think LeBron is going to have a feel for it as well, and ultimately LeBron James is going to make those decisions. I thought LeBron would be a lot more cautious last season. He wasn't. But this scenario truly, truly is different than any scenario that the NBA has ever been in, and certainly LeBron James as well. So it's going to be an exciting season. It's going to be a fun season. And it starts on Friday. Lakers and the Clippers. All those great storylines between those two franchises right now. The Clippers continuing not able to make the Western Conference Finals while the Lakers win a championship. And then the Clippers, they change things up in the offseason. They go get Ty Lue instead of Doc Rivers. Obviously, they grab Serge Ibaka, Nicholas Batum, Luke Kennard, I think is another player that they added. But still a ton of questions with the Clippers. But they're going to be a team that's in the mix, of course. I think they're the second best team in the NBA. And I love that that's the matchup to get things started with, and I love that that's the matchup that we start the regular season with as well. All right, you miss any part of the show, go back to the ESPN app or on iTunes, grab the full 2 hours. Wesley Matthews was on in the first hour. Mike Trudell joined the show in the second hour. I'm about to now go live on ESPN Los Angeles on our social sites, get a chance to connect with Laker fans on that front as well. Thank you to Curtis. Thank you to all the Laker fans out there for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. We'll see you on Friday.